from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working with students and families to improve college access and student success for a better West Virginia. West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu.
You did it. You did it.
That was Delegate Brent Boggs announcing an agreement among House and Senate conferees for a 5% pay raise for all of West Virginia's public employees. Good evening, I'm Andrea Lanham, and this is the legislature today from the Capitol Building in Charleston. Teachers erupted over the news that effectively began the end of a 9-day statewide teacher and school personnel work stoppage. First, we'll go to Dave Mistich. Reports following the governor's signing of the bill this afternoon, union leaders say they are readying teachers and other school workers to get back on the job.
Just before a morning meeting of a conference committee tasked to hash out the details of a bill calling for pay raises for teachers and service personnel, Governor Justice announced he had struck a deal that called for 5% raises for all state employees. Senate Republicans had remained skeptical about the state's fiscal ability to provide 5% raises, even just for school employees this year, after Justice announced last week that his office had increased revenue estimates for the upcoming fiscal year by $58 million. Senate Finance Chair Craig Blair explained that they wouldn't be using those updated revenue estimates for the school employee raises in House Bill 4145, and that raises for all other public employees would come through increases to personnel line items in the budget.
This pay raise just isn't for the teachers and the school service personnel. It's also for the state employees. 5% for all. We've also done this without increasing any taxes at all. Now, there's going to be some pain.
After House and Senate conferees signed off on the 5% raises for school workers, and once the bill unanimously cleared both chambers, crowds of teachers and service personnel gathered at the Capitol erupted into cheers, with many hugging those next to them. While the mood was unquestionably celebratory, Stacy Wallace, a Spanish teacher at George Washington Middle School in Putnam County, expressed concerns over the way the raises might affect public opinion.
We have fought long and hard for this. I am disappointed in Senator Blair's suggestion that the raise is coming out of Medicaid. I think that was an attempt to turn the public against us even more. The $58 million new money that's supposed to be there was not even considered in this budget. And I feel that there's more than enough money that will go around. And we did not need the kind of slap in the face with the $20 million coming from things like Medicaid, tourism, and commerce.
But the pain that Senator Blair spoke of will soon come into focus in the form of roughly $20 million in cuts to other government programs that would have seen increases this year, such as tourism and the State Commerce Department's Development Office. In a news conference following the passage of the bill, Senate President Mitch Carmichael also acknowledged that Medicaid funding would be part of that equation.
Well, Medicaid is always a part of the budgeting process, and so that we frequently move Medicaid money around within the context of the budget. And frankly, the budget that's being brought forth has Medicaid cuts to it. So there will be additional areas of the budget that must be cut.
The statewide walkouts began February 22nd as teachers had originally called for a permanent fix to the state employee health care program, the Public Employees Insurance Agency. After the program's finance board agreed to freeze once proposed changes that would have increased costs for those on the plan, Governor Justice created a task force to study long-term solutions. The task force was part of an original deal with union leaders made last week.
Joining us now is senior reporter Dave Mistich. Dave, it's been a really chaotic week, and it's just started. Can we just go through the process of getting to this point so far?
Sure. I think that obviously about almost 2 weeks ago, we saw the first of statewide walkouts. It was on a Thursday and a Friday a couple of weeks ago. That rolled into Monday last week, carried on throughout the week. Midweek last week on Tuesday or Wednesday night, confusing which night it was exactly, there was a deal that was brokered between Governor Justice and the unions that called for a 5% increase on, or a 5% salary increase for teachers and school service personnel, as well as the task force that was announced to fix PEIA on the long term. Union leaders that didn't actually pan out, and union leaders, they went on to keep the students stayed off out of school, and here we are now, this finally ending on a Tuesday, almost 2 weeks after it all began. So,
and the governor held a press conference today where he signed that bill as well. So let's take a look at that. What happened earlier today with that?
Sure.
We really may have to move away from the idea that education is some necessary evil that's just got to be funded, and move towards really and truly what we really should be doing is looking at our children, at our teachers, at the education process as an investment that we're going to try to make great. Now, that's all there is to it. And that's what we have done in West Virginia. And the world has seen it, not cut, reduction in Medicaid. We feel like that it won't be needed because we ended up with a cash surplus last year in Medicaid of $173 million. Now, in all honesty, we think a reduction of $10 million in Medicaid is just prudent. We absolutely don't think we'll need it. But if we need it, we have the cash balances in the Medicaid coffers right now to cover it, hands down. No one needs to worry one instant about a Medicaid cut.
Joining us now is Senate President Mitch Carmichael.
Good evening, Andrew.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
It's great to be here.
So we just heard from the governor saying absolutely that Medicaid would not be affected because of the pay raise, yet Republican leadership mentioned something different on the floor today. What's the differences that we're looking at, and is Medicaid going to get cut?
Well, yes, Medicaid will be reduced, the actual line item budgeted. However, as the governor alluded to, and as all of us readily recognize, there will be cash balances that are available to supplement that should it be needed. At the end of last year, we actually had $173 million surplus in the Medicaid line item. So we're very comfortable with those reductions. However, I will say this, and the principle is the fact that when one area is raised, another area must be reduced. This is not an unlimited resource. It's a resource in which our financial condition must be allocated amongst unlimited needs. And so as we begin this process of budgeting and recognize that we want to value our public employees, absolutely. I mean, this strike was thrust upon us because of years and years and years and years of neglect. And so we come to the legislative process and, kaboom. Basically, we get this laid in our lap and the teachers are out on strike and the schools are closing and we're not sure what they even want. And so then the governor, settles upon a 5% raise, and it seems like the leadership of those unions is, accepting of that. And so in order to do that, he found $60 million. And we were very skeptical, very hesitant about allocating resources that were discovered in the midst of a negotiation process. And so we thoughtfully analyzed, as we should, as the voters of West Virginia expect us to do. And we recognized that we must cut other areas of the budget. So this is a great day for West Virginia, frankly. This is a day in which we recognize that taxpayers of West Virginia have a seat at this table. We spent no more than we have. We live within our means, and we provided the largest pay increase to our teachers in over 28 years. So we're very happy. We had a lot of accolades afterwards. Not that that's why we do it. We do it for the purpose of living within our means and providing every resource we can to move the state forward.
Now, there is a lot of concerns with these cuts, though. Can you mention how big of a cut Medicaid could be facing?
Well, what we'll be budgeting is $10 million in reductions. But that is very manageable in terms of the entire Medicaid expenditure, which is in the billion range when you count, more than that when you count the federal match. And so, you know, it, as I said, last year we had a $173 million surplus at the end of the year. Medicaid services are being used less frequently in West Virginia because people are beginning to go back to work. We've made the turn in our economy. When you think about it, and both of you realize that last year we had a $400 million deficit. After the three previous years losing money as well, this is the first year that we've been able to project that we'll meet our revenue, and we've been able to provide the assurance to the people of West Virginia that their tax dollars are protected and the public employees have long overdue raises.
Now, what other revenue measures are going to be off the table? We've heard about the business inventory tax, intermediate course, community colleges.
Yeah, all those things have to go by the wayside. All those initiatives that we believe would improve the condition in West Virginia. The Community Technical College bill was very important, passed the Senate 34-0, and didn't have it had a $7 million price tag, but it will be sacrificed, as will the elimination of the personal property tax on business inventory and equipment, which is a job-killing tax. We all recognize it. But we won't be able to do that. The governor wanted additional money for tourism, and we will not be able to do that. And he wanted additional money for site development in the Commerce Department so that you could attract some different industries and so forth. And that will have to be jettisoned as well.
I want to jump in here really quickly, and I'm very curious about, just last week, whenever this deal with the governor was announced, I'm just curious how the Senate, particularly, your majority, moved from this skepticism of being able to provide a 5% at the time you guys were stuck on 4. Explain, I guess, the process within your caucus over in the Senate to turn to get to this 5, not only for school service personnel, teachers, and state police, but all state employees.
It's a great question, because we centered in on the concept that what we do for one, we will do for all, and that all of our public employees are valuable. And so to raise one salary up further than another, unless there's a complete disparity, we felt was unnecessary. So we wanted to settle in on raising everybody's salary as much as we could. And this, we've been through this process for a little while, and the pay raise was all about 1%, perhaps 2% the first year, and then do everything you can to address PEIA. But then the governor threw sort of a curveball on that Tuesday evening when he announced that he was going to do a 5% pay raise for teachers and school service personnel, but only 3 for the rest of the state. And so we began then to say, caught us completely off guard, no advance warning, nothing on that. And so that really interrupted the whole process. But we regrouped and we said that we are elected to manage the budget of West Virginia. And certainly the easy thing to do is always say, yeah, we got the money, let's spend it, and just start spending money like crazy. That would not have been the prudent thing to do. And I feel we ended up with a good result.
And I think it's important to note, too, that especially with state employees, that has to be managed under the budget, not this bill itself.
That's a great point, Andrea. The bill itself is statutorily increases these salaries because they're actually in a schedule. However, many of the other state employees are not scheduled. They're within the confines of the budget. So we'll be rolling out the budget that enhances those salaries very shortly.
What about the constitutional offices? Because I know they're a little bit different. Do their budgets get adjusted to account for that pay raise too?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there has been some tensions between the parties the last 2 weeks with this teacher walkout, where Senate Republicans in particular were painted as against teachers and Democrats were for teachers. Yeah. What was your reaction to some of that?
Well, that's politics as usual. those who want to villainize those who take a thoughtful and analytical approach to spending $60 million, you know, and want to call that against teachers. It's really, frankly, it's demeaning and it's ridiculous and it's below the level of a senator, I would say. We got to a solution that the people of West Virginia elected us to manage this budget in a proper manner. This is what change looks like in West Virginia. We're moving this state forward. And in the past, many people would have just said, yeah, sure, let's spend the money and hope it's there. We're not going to take that approach. We're going to take a more thoughtful, analytical approach, and we got to a great result.
Now, you were here in mid-January predicting a 60-day session. Are you still planning on finishing up this Saturday night, and do you think that that's still doable?
Yes, I do. And here's the reason I'm so proud of that is for our Senate, not me personally, but and the entire legislature is dealing with an enormous teacher strike, shutdown of our schools, all the curveballs that we've been thrown from a budgetary perspective. We are still, I believe, will still deliver the budget before the end of the 60 days, which has not been done in this building for decades.
Well, that'll have to be the last word. Senate President Mitch Carmichael, thank you so much for joining us
tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Dave. Yep.
Here's more of a look at the reaction among teachers here at the Capitol following the announcement of a 5% pay raise for all public employees.
You are inspiring people all over this world to stand up for what's right. We are all in that wilderness. But we knew that the only way we could get to the promised land is if we all got there together. And that's what we did. Thank you. Thank you. 55 strong.
55 strong. I'm Robin Wyatt from Sissonville High School in Kanawha County. I'm happy. I'm greatly relieved. I'm ready to get back in my classroom. This has been a difficult situation to be in for both us and our students and parents and communities. And I want to thank everyone for their support of us as teachers and service personnel and all state employees that we fought for this to make our lives better with a greater salary and hopefully better benefits as time goes on and they look at PEIA and better ways to fix it.
I'm Mark Connolly. I'm from Huntington, Cabell County, West Virginia, and it was well worth the trip just to get to stand in unity with these wonderful people and know that they're making history today. And it's good to be part of that history.
It's a great day to be a West Virginian!
So Dave, we just heard from the Senate President. Was there anything that was particularly surprising or stood out to you tonight?
Well, you know, I gotta say, and there's the bell for them to go back in, right on time, as always during the show. The interesting thing that sticks out is how adamantly he stands by this, that Medicaid cuts are gonna happen. I think we all had the understanding, whether or not that $58 million was or was not gonna be in play, that there was gonna be some kind of cuts to tourism and commerce. Governor Justice last week, whenever he announced this whole deal that actually didn't pan out at the time, even mentioned cuts to tourism and commerce. So I think that we all anticipated that. Medicaid wasn't really part of the conversation until today. And again, the difference of opinion between the governor's office and the Senate still seems to linger over how this is going to happen. So doesn't really, surprise me necessarily, but we'll see how this plays out. You know, we've got until Saturday. They say they're going to have a budget. And, in the final numbers of all that, we'll have to take a look at it and see how that plays out in making these cuts to make these raises happen. So
earlier we were kind of talking about how all of this got started. And originally this started with PEIA.
Right. And honestly, that was the conversation, the right off the bat, the teachers, the service personnel, other public employees that had joined them at the Capitol. PEIA was the main focus. Of course, they had argued that if we get a raise, it can offset some of these costs. PEIA got frozen by the finance board.
the issues with like Go365, the health tracking app, wellness app, so to speak, as well as the stops to the total household income. So we saw that sort of gradually play out. And then it seemed like building up to Tuesday, and especially Tuesday of last week, with the governor's office making this announced deal, that almost immediately the pendulum swung and it became about raises. I spoke with Christine Campbell earlier today, and she said, you know, the pendulum didn't necessarily swing. It's just that gradually over time, some of these things were taken care of bit by bit. And of course, with the governor's office creating this task force and that freeze in place until July 1st of 2019, you know, there's some time to get through working out some issues with PEIA, but they still, to this day, seem to want, they need to, they say, find a long-term solution. So, you know, originally the big conversation was PEIA first and foremost, but it seemed like over the past week or so that pay raises became the main deal, so.
There's definitely been a lot of comments about this. Let's listen to some of the conversation from the Senate that happened earlier today.
Two things were important for me in this. One, that we do it in a fiscally responsible way, that we balance the budget. And what I said was the other important thing to me was to be equitable to all of our employees, all of our state employees.
We had to be responsible, though, and we were responsible as a body to recognize that there were questions about that money, and we asked the governor to prove out that money. And I don't think we got good answers on that. And as a result of not getting good answers on that, we took an approach that I think was a very responsible approach. We said, if we're going to do this, and there's apparently no other way to get our teachers back in the classroom and our students back in school, that we're going to have to cut. And that does mean cutting programs. This is what it is to lead and to make hard decisions. And this is what we've done.
I want to make sure that these raises, which recognition of our public employees and teachers, which is well deserved, I want to make sure that there's not a backroom deal going on here that punishes people that are too poor to afford to go to a doctor. I understand there are Medicaid cuts that are involved in this, Mr. President.
You know, I just want the record to be clear. We've pointed out at least three different ways to fund these raises without hurting another person or putting a single dime of taxes on any citizen. You could have done it on the severance tax. We could have taken that gambling bill. We could have done it by cutting back on some of the business tax breaks that we want to give.
And the bottom line is, if you believe this revenue estimate is accurate, you shouldn't have any concerns whatsoever about the cuts that are being proposed, because those can be backfilled, as you know, through supplemental appropriations. But if you don't believe in that revenue estimate, then the pay raise was nothing more than an empty promise to begin with. The compromise that the Senate majority offered last night and got the House of Delegates and the governor's office on board with was a guarantee to the public employees of West Virginia. And while it took
longer than everyone... Joining us now is Delegate Brent Boggs of Braxton County, one of the conferees who met earlier today on this proposed pay raise bill. So, Delegate Boggs, let's just start off with the process here. We started hearing of a potential compromise last night, but as many teachers had told me, coming to a resolution this morning didn't look very promising. What was running through your mind the last 2 days?
Concerned that the conference would run out of time before we finished. Now, we could extend, but you know, we're up against the end of the session. We do have a lot of other legislation that has to go, but this obviously was of paramount importance, and we had to get this finished as soon as possible.
Now, what are some of your concerns moving forward? We've heard that there's going to be a lot of cuts.
Well, we'll get the budget explained, at least the House version, later today. I also have concerned over what cuts might be coming. But I'm hoping in conference we can work those out. We still have, I believe, a substantial cushion in the budget with the $58 million. Now, I believe the Senate has indicated they want to hold on to that for a while. But if we have to move some things that aren't pressing in the budget on back in toward the back of the budget, we can run supplementals after July 1st and on into the fall, and we can certainly bring ourselves back up whole.
I know there's been a little bit of difference between the Senate president who we heard from earlier and the governor. The governor says there's absolutely not going to be cuts to Medicaid. However, the Senate president said he believes that that's going to happen. Does that kind of concern you?
Well, obviously, anytime we cut Medicaid or any potential cuts to Medicaid, but I think that from what I've been given to indicate thus far, anything that is cut will probably not be from Medicaid until the very last resort, but it could be pushed off, and I don't think there would be anything that would be noticeable in loss of services, and that could be made up after the first of the year in supplemental appropriations, because we do have a substantial sum, so, and I think that's one of the problems that the Senate president had.
Right. And I believe that I had heard that earlier, too, talking about how the Senate's view was if this money did materialize later, that they could always come back in supplemental appropriations as well.
Well, they can, but just to point out, last year the governor raised revenue estimates by $110 million, and it really wasn't a blip on the radar screen, but this year $58 million seemed to set off a lot of alarm bells. But I believe that, the tax department, that the growth is going to be there in personal income tax and consumer sales tax.
Well, that's going to have to be the final word. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We have Delegate Brent Boggs. Thank you.
Thank you.
And this concludes tonight's broadcast. Just 4 days left in the 2018 legislative session. We'll hope you'll continue to join us nightly at 6. And on Saturday, special live coverage beginning at 8 p.m. and going through the final gavel at midnight. For the Legislature Today, I'm Andrea Lanham. Thanks for joining us and have a great evening.